Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning. Hey, Jared, it just hit me, man. While you're getting everything running behind the scenes, go to Webster's 1828 dictionary for me, Jared, and pull up tyranny. Tyranny. We'll get to that there in a second. Hey, morning, folks. It's the 27th. I can't believe it. 27th. Tomorrow's the 28th. Goodness gracious. February's over tomorrow. Life is flying by, boys and girls. Life is flying by. And I've been really kind of impressed as I've kind of huddled here this morning with my wife and thinking about, you know, I always when I come down here, what we're going to do on the show today. I just got in my heart today. A tyranny came up in my heart. Tyranny. And not only tyranny, but how little most of us are aware of how fast the tyranny is coming around us today. Had a Facebook alert this morning from Steve Quayle. I'm in Facebook jail, so it probably wasn't Facebook. I had an alert from Steve Quayle talking about the concerted effort by mainstream media to shut down Alex Jones, to shut down Doug and Joe Hagman, to shut down anybody who's speaking what they want. See, they want to call it what? Alternative news? That's what they want to call it. And unfortunately, most, you guys watch Fox News. I'm talking to a broad appeal out there. Broad appeal. Fox News. Fox News, as far as you know, they've been talking anything about tyranny and free speech, what's happening with Alex Jones, or do you think Fox News would like to see Alex Jones banned? Would Fox News like to see Hagman and Hagman banned? These are questions we need to begin to ask ourselves. Because, see, you can turn on Rush Limbaugh, and Rush Limbaugh will give you the news, or he'll give you the play-by-play. I say he's a color commentator, right? He'll tell you what the Republicans are doing, he'll tell you what the Democrats are doing, and he'll do a replay, and he'll play it, and then he'll explain how that play didn't work and how this play. He's just a color commentator. Have you heard him at all? Have you heard Rush really dig into what really happened in Las Vegas? Have you really dug into that at all? Has he exposed anything? I heard Rush talking lately about pedophilia and the pedogate, and arrests are still being made. Are you hearing anything at all about that? Have you heard anything at all about what Jerome Corsi said yesterday? I'm going to play that clip for you if you get to hear this morning. What really happened to Judge Scalia? Do you ever hear anything really controversial on Fox News?
No.
You don't, right? And so the average person sitting in the pew, the average person sitting in the pew who certainly is not hearing it from their pastor and isn't hearing it from Fox News, they ain't hearing it. They're just not hearing it. And so the good news is many of us are awake, but the tyranny is so unbelievable. We throw that word around. I'm going to show you some tyranny here this morning. Glad you joined us. Hey, please, again, folks, continue to. Two things I want you to do for me. I'm running on my cord here. I'm sorry. Two things I'd like you to do. Number one, if you haven't already, please go to YouTube and like our YouTube, will you? Like it. I guess somebody's telling me those things really, really matter. So if you, do it. Like it, okay? Just go to CoachDave.tv, CoachDave.tv, and hit the like button or subscribe, whatever that is. I guess it's a subscribe button so we can get our subscribers up a little bit. And then secondly, something that would be really, really beneficial to you, because I have a feeling we're going to be, now that we got our number, which, by the way, that's what they want all of us to get a number. They want us all to be felons. Now that I got my Facebook number, I'm a repeat offender. I'm probably going to end up in jail more often than not, because it's part of the tyranny that's coming down around us. So I would encourage all of you, if you watch the show, watch it at our website. CoachDaveLive.com, because if nothing else is up and running, CoachDaveLive.com is going to be up and running. We have control of that right now, okay? Coach Dave Live. Jared's throwing it up there for you. The show's broadcast right there. You can listen to it on your phone. All of the, everything that you can do at CoachDaveLive.com, and we can keep some control of what's going on. Now, I want to comment on something else that just popped up into my head. Somebody on the internet yesterday, a troll, I'm sure, complained about the fact that we were censoring chat. I want you to know this. I wouldn't know how to censor chat if I wanted to. I don't have any idea how to censor chat. Okay? But also, you better understand this. This isn't an open and free forum, but it's my forum. I pay for this forum. If you say something I don't like, I might kick your butt out. Okay? Just like Facebook did to me. I might kick your butt out. The fact that this thing is broadcast didn't give you the right to come on and say whatever the heck you want to say. You have free speech. Start your own page. Start your own program. But don't come in here and try to bang away at us. Okay, so tyranny. Let's get to tyranny real quick. Hey, guys. Guns, tyranny. Freedom of religion, tyranny. Freedom of speech, tyranny. Spying on you, tyranny. Dare I go on? It is everywhere. And we have taxation, tyranny. And so we have been so conditioned to accept it that, it just become a way of life. Tyranny, according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, is arbitrary or despotic exercise of power. The exercise of power over subjects and others with rigor not authorized by law or justice. Wow. Or not requisite for the purposes of government. Hence, tyranny is often synonymous with cruelty and oppression. Hey, guys. Facebook, in my honest opinion, somebody needs to bring a class action lawsuit against Facebook. This has become a public utility. Facebook is like having a telephone. And then all of a sudden, AT&T or whatever your carrier says, I'm sorry, we can't let you have a phone anymore. That's what Facebook is. This is where the public is. And how can Facebook sit back? If I have to bake a cake for a homo, how can Facebook censor what I have to say? It's tyranny. We don't fight back well. We don't fight at all. That's the point I want to try to make with today's show. Tyranny is cruel government or discipline as the tyranny of a master. Unrestricted and cruel power. Absolute monarchy cruelly administered. Severity, rigor, inclemency, the tyranny of the open night. So tyranny is when people in power crush the rights of others. We are seeing tyranny. Tyranny. By the way, what happened in Las Vegas, that shooting in Las Vegas, guys, that investigation doesn't belong to the FBI. That's a public investigation. We ought to know all the details. What happened down in Parkland, Florida, that's a public event in a public school by public police officers. Why the secrecy? What the heck's going on? Give us the facts. Tell us now if it's an ongoing investigation and they think others are involved, but they already told us no, there aren't others involved. No others involved. One guy came in. He did it. Tyranny. Tyranny. They put me in Facebook jail. I'm not whining. Put me in Facebook jail. Why? To prevent you from hearing what I have to say, which might be relevant, especially if you're a brother in Christ. And we're building a little bit of fire under your feet. Jared, go to Joshua. Go to Joshua. That's where I want to start today. I got some good stuff for you. I got some good stuff for you. I promise I do. Let's see who we got in there. We got room for a couple more people who want to jump in here today. If you don't want to, that's okay. But we do have room for a couple. I'm in... Now after Joshua 1, stay with me. I want you to see something. Hey, fellas, grow some hair on your chest, will you? Will you grow some hair on your stinking chest? Will you quit cowering? Will you quit running? Will you quit hiding in your closet? We need some courage in America. Courage. Courage. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, I like it when the Lord speaks and he says something. Moses is dead. Hey, boys, Moses is dead. Who's next? Moses is dead. Joshua's dead. Who's next, boys? Moses, my servant, is dead, he says to Joshua. Now, therefore, you get up. You get over across the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land, because I gave it to you. I gave you that land, Joshua. You go over there, even into the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've given that to you. Go get it, will you? I'm just adding a little bit of narrative here. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of it's yours, brothers. It's all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun. That shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you, George. So I'm going to be with you, Roger. So I'm going to be with you, Larry. So I'm going to be with you, Jared. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. And I won't fail you, the Lord says, nor forsake you. But going to require something from you. You're going to have to be strong and have a good courage. That's all I'm asking from you. I got it all laid out. It's all yours. I'm just asking a couple of requirements of you. Be strong and have a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give you. Only be strong. Very courageous. There's your two requirements. Strong and courageous. You may have observed to do all according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. In other words, don't back down. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written then. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt you have good success. Have I not commanded you? He asks us twice. And then he's getting kind of ticked. He says, I'm not asking anymore. I'm commanding you, dude. Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Somebody say amen.
Amen, brother.
We're a bunch of freaking cowards. We're a bunch of freaking cowards. We ought to own up to it and admit it. We're scared. Scared of losing our stuff. Scared of what they're going to do to us. And because they know we're scared, they don't do anything about it. I got a text message from Rich Wallace today. They're bringing a mosque into his little town over there. They rallied 700 people to the city council meeting last night. 700 people they rallied to it. 3-2, the city council voted to let the mosque in. And Rich made the point, once again, no church. When you think the church, guys, let me ask you a question. Does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, want a mosque in Indiana?
No.
Ponder that. Absolutely. Just ponder that.
I don't even have to.
Then why wouldn't God's churches stand up against it, and a unified front stand up and say, no, this land's ours?
Well, you know the end. But
because we're nicer than Jesus. We're nicer than Jesus. And Ravi Zacharias, I don't know what you think about him. I got my cords everywhere here this morning. I don't know what you think about Ravi Zacharias. I was going to play this clip. I forgot it till right now. Ravi Zacharias says the end result of this sissified religion we have now, this best life now, this name it, claim it, grab it and blab it. The end result of this is that the average Christian man is not going to have the intestinal fortitude to rise up and push back against Islam when it makes its full assault on America. Ravi Zacharias said that. He recognizes the softness of the Christian man. We won't rise up against
it. There is no place in history where Islam came in, settled in, and was peaceful. Nowhere. It you can't find it anywhere where they coexist without eventually tremendous violence to either stop it or they take over. But yet we believe we're smarter than the history that lays in the past.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to way in the United States coexist with them. No history shows that. That's unbelievable. No history shows that, but we believe we can.
So when the scripture says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, do we believe that mosques are the works of darkness?
Yes.
Amen.
What the hell's going on? What is going on? We're going to let a mosque get a foothold in our city? Now, see, here's the reaction. Well, coach, it's freedom of religion. There's a separation between the church and state. No, there isn't, see. It just lied to you and told you that. Right. And whether you want to admit it or not, the state of Indiana, if you check, boy, Jared, that'd be a good Google search. If you check the Constitution of the state of Indiana, I guarantee you it talks about honoring God. I bet there's some connection to God in it. Gotta be. The God, the Christian God. And so what we're trying to do is try to keep them from getting a foothold. There it is. There it is. The preamble, 1851 to the end, that justice be established, public order maintained, and liberty perpetuated. We, the people of the state of Indiana, grateful to Almighty God for the free exercise of the right to choose our own form of government, do ordain this Constitution. So the federal government has no right to tell the people in Indiana, any city in Indiana, that they have to let a mosque in. But we believe in judicial supremacy, and that same judicial supremacy that they're going to try to use to take your guns. You mark my word. You mark my word. Okay. I want to move. I'm going to get you ready. You buckled in today, boy.
Hey, coach.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, for those Christians that still believe that the Old Testament has validity, isn't that, though, whether we like it or not, and no matter how much we're fighting against it, which we are, in the blessings and the curses, isn't that one of the curses that when people are disobedient, when God's people are disobedient, means they're going to overtake them? And isn't that what we're seeing? It's really an obedience problem amongst Christians, as I see it.
It's a testosterone problem too, George. Testosterone problem. See, the pastors should have been leading the assault in Indiana, not right, to let a mosque in. But the pastors won't do that because they've got this crazy idea that God loves all these Muslims too. God loves them all, and we're going to be tolerant. We're going to be diverse. We're going to be loving. And we know, as Roger just said, nowhere ever have these two come together that there hasn't been conflict. Never.
You're scared. Yeah. And they're disobedient. But
say, well, you hate Muslims. I didn't hate Muslims. What the? Why do you guys always throw that out like you hate somebody? When you want to stand up for what you believe in, that's hatred? What is wrong with you folks? Have you been programmed? See, there's freedom of religion in America, but that religion is Christianity. That's the freedom of religion, Christianity, all right? You can be whatever brand of Christian you want to be. And you can even come here and you can have a mosque, but you're going to have to follow our rules, all right? You ain't going to come here and bring your Sharia law and start. You ain't going to do that. But we don't get it. We're blind. We don't get it.
Coach,
somebody tried to jump in. Go ahead.
Well, Coach, you know that we've talked about these things, and Rusty, that, you know, not the Islam religion, they're overtaking us by using the very thing that God has commanded us to be blessed by, and that was to be fruitful and to have children and subdue the earth.
Yep.
We're averaging one or two children, and the Muslims are averaging 12 children. Eventually, by our own law of voting, they will overtake us, even with their Sharia law, because they will outvote us. Now, when
Dale,
you go back to the Constitution,
we're all God's children, Dale. You're just a bigot. We're all God's children.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, hey, brother, the Constitution of the United States—if we put our validity in ink on a parchment paper, we have already missed it. All of these things are inalienable, given by God. In other words, all of the amendments, the Bill of Rights, all of these things hinge on the Bible itself.
Amen.
And we need to understand that our rights don't come from the Second Amendment. Our rights come from the very Word of God. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. Hurry up, man. I got some place to go. Go, Larry. I appreciate the impact. I got some stuff I got to get here. Go ahead, Larry.
We live in a society that has been taught, or if they weren't taught that, they've at least glommed on to the fact that anytime anybody representing God says anything, that, for example, you say that we're not supposed to love Muslims. Heck no, we're not supposed to love. Why would you want to love something that God thinks is abhorrent in their lifestyle? And they say, well, you know, you hate Muslims. You're not supposed to be a hater. Well, I tell you what, God doesn't love Muslims either, but he wants to. That's why he sacrificed his son, so that he could even love them. But they have got to come around and get on his side before he's going to love them.
Hey, so where do we learn this? Where do we learn this God loves everybody and everybody's equal thing? Two places, the apostate church and public education. That's where we learned it. Okay, here we go. Jared, go down. 1, 2, 3. Flip article. Flip was arrested. That's what got me fired up here this morning. Flip, our buddy Flip. The number one most courageous man I know. Flip Benham. Stay with me here a second. Mind-boggling arrest of Christian at abortion. This just happened yesterday. I called Flip yesterday morning. he's something else. I got to get him on the show. Get him up early. Get him on the show. So his sons, David and Jason, wrote this real quick little thing. I want to show you. We're living in crazy times. Let me read this real quickly. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. But if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help. As I lift up my hands towards you, your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. That's Psalm 28. Hey, that's what's happening to us, isn't it? They're dragging us away. I got to say, how do I get rid of this thing off my screen? I can't see it up here. There it is. Okay, on Saturday, we got a text from our sister. These are the Benham brothers. That our dad had been arrested while ministering outside the abortion clinic. She had no idea why, nor did he. Turned out someone had taken out a warrant for his arrest while obtaining a police report of any without any verification of the claim whatsoever. He was released the same day and sent us the email below after he got home. We're living in crazy times. I want you, all your fathers, it broke my heart, really, that Flip went home and communicated with his sons like this. Are we doing this with our children? Are we communicating with our children the important issues of life? Now, Flip's boys are grown men. And here's what he wrote to them. Dear boys, I was reading Psalm 28 today, and it became apparent to me what is happening in the streets of our nation. Strange new city ordinances and seeming little changes in laws are beginning to squeeze out every last breath of liberty we Christians have to be a voice for him and his precious preborn children. The systematic criminalization of Christianity is not coming to us merely by Supreme Court cases or cleverly crafted pieces of congressional legislation. No, it's coming to us by seemingly small nuances, changes and alterations of the ordinances and the laws in our cities, townships, counties, and states. Hey, Sarge, all politics is local. The strangulation of our First Amendment rights and responsibilities as Christians in America is burgeoning from the bottom up, not from the top down. One would never know this, however, if we only pay attention to the mainstream media, Fox News, conservative radio at all. My recent arrest is a great example. I wrote this in my Bible this morning, February 25th. I was taken to jail yesterday at an abortion mill at Preferred Women's Health Clinic because a foul-mouthed pro-abortion woman had sworn out a warrant for my arrest, saying I approached her in a threatening manner. She claimed, I said, "You're dead," that I said it repeatedly so that she or any reasonable person would fear for his life. The supposed confrontation took place 1 week ago, Saturday, February 17th, 2018. That morning, there were between 15 and 20 uniformed officers on duty because we had about 250 Christian mom and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and boys and girls praying and singing across the street from the abortion clinic. It was a loving example of God's goodness to those mamas to these mamas a choice. Mama has a choice. The pro-abortion woman who then got on her bullhorn began shouting vulgarities and epithets at the Christian families across the street. It was at this time that he had some courage. It was at this time some hair grew on my chest. And I walked across the driveway while remaining on the side of the walk and spoke with her. I asked her to please stop berating these families and stop using four-letter words in the presence of children. What a man does. I then told her that she was dead in her trespasses, dead in her sins, and was a dead person walking because from out of the abundance of her heart, her mouth spoke such death. I said she was filled with prickles and stings in her heart and that she needed Jesus. Yet she continued to harangue. Interestingly, she communicated not one word of this supposed threat to any of the uniformed police officers that were there that day. I wonder why. Because there was no physical, audible, or perceivable threat made by her or to anyone else. As a matter of fact, there was no threat at all, just an invitation to ask Jesus into her heart so that he could make it brand new. She waited until she could go to the magistrate without a police report and get the magistrate to swear out a warrant for my arrest. Mind you, without a police report, she was allowed to swear out a warrant for my arrest. When the policemen came to arrest me, they were all apologetic and said they had no idea someone could obtain a warrant for my arrest without a police report. It broke all protocol. My court date is April 17th. If these things continue unchecked, it won't be long before warrants will be issued against anyone who stands against the radical left's agenda. Tyranny! Though they may speak cordially with their neighbor, they can hide the malice in their hearts. Psalm 28. It's time to pray and be a voice. Now, Jared, pull up clips the rest. I want you to see a Joshua. Flip Benham. Okay, hang on. I want to play. There's two things I want you to see, Jared. This one, and then there's another interview. Folks, listen, I want you to watch how the media, although they tell us they're reporting this story, I want you to watch the media bias and tell me if you think this is designed to make Flip look bad. Go ahead, Jared. About 2 minutes.
Only on Channel 9, a Concord pastor arrested for threatening staff at a Charlotte women's clinic.
It's just bogus stuff.
Pastor Flip Benham rallies dozens of people to protest outside of local women's health clinics, but staff at one clinic in East Charlotte told Eyewitness News reporter Stephanie Tinoco they're scared.
Scared, yeah.
Pastor Flip Benham is no stranger to jail.
You know, most of the New Testament was written from jail, so maybe jail isn't such a bad place to be.
He's lost track just how many times he's been arrested.
I know it's more than 50 and less than 100.
He told me he will gladly sit in a cell to stand up for unborn children. For the past 17 years, he's gone to several women's health clinics in the area with dozens of people. Their mission is to share with expecting mothers abortion isn't the only option.
We care about choice. We know that God has called all of us to make a choice. We're offering life for them and help for them.
But staff at a preferred women's health clinic told Channel 9 in a statement they are scared by the group's, quote, pattern of violence. A volunteer claims Benham approached her last week and menacingly and repeatedly told her, "You are dead," fearing the threat would be carried out.
There hasn't been one convicted act of violence there at all. I've been there 17 years.
Benham was arrested on Saturday for communicating threats, but he says he told her,
"It's there, but you are dead in your sins."
He says he was for abortion years ago when his wife was pregnant, but his wife wouldn't go through with it.
And when Roe versus Wade passed, I was excited about that.
He wants more women to choose life.
From January 1st to February 24, 70 women have chosen life.
Stephanie Tinoco, Channel 9, Eyewitness News at 10.
Channel 9 has reported on several issues outside the women's clinic on Latrobe Drive, including safety for clinic employees and protesters. Charlotte City Council has asked the city manager to study possible buffer zones,
banning
parking on the street, and changing
signs
and sign ordinances outside the clinic.
The
pro-life group Cities for Life is suing Charlotte, claiming it's restricting free speech by limiting what signs it can hold.
All politics are local. Stay. I want to stay here with me now. Stay here with me, Jared. Scroll down farther. There we go. Here we go. Because now you got to let right there, Jared. You got to love flip because I want you to know something. It's always a gospel opportunity with Flip Benham. Always a gospel opportunity. 50 to 100 times he's been in jail. It's always a gospel opportunity. He says, Coach, there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's your opportunity to preach the gospel. Now I want you to watch this. They come back. They come back and do another interview with him. And what's your brother Flip, man? Think how many people got to see this. The lion stinking media. This guy has been doing this for 30 years, hadn't harmed anybody, never harmed anybody, ever, ever. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, I've got the report in my hand, but I, you know, one of the things that they have been trying to do for a long, long time with me is to get me off the streets and to really to silence the Christian message at abortion mills, where we're doing everything that we can to help moms have a real choice, because so many of them feel like they have no choice at all. If not, they go into that abortion mill and they're desperate and they feel like an animal caught in a trap. They're trying to gnaw off their own leg to get free. And we come with sonogram unit and all sorts of things and nurses to help them along the way, and we've got places for them to stay if they get thrown out of the house. So these people that brought these charges against me have brought a lot of charges against me, and this is just one of them. And it's just that it's an attempt to censor the gospel of Christ from these abortion mills.
Now, I know that they're saying that you were communicating threats.
Yeah, it was really, it must have been very threatening. There were 25 police officers there at the time when this girl is reporting this. Her name is Samantha, not Samantha, but I don't know what her name is.
Can you talk to me what happened? You were at the clinic today.
Yeah, this didn't happen today. This was last week when we had about 250 folks out at the abortion mill, folks from a couple of different churches, and we were there. And last week, and there were, of course, there were lots of policemen there. There were about 25 of them. She started using the squawk box and screaming across the street to our folks that were all gathered there in praise and worship. And so I figured, all right, I'll just go and get in front of that and talk to her. And I did, and I said, you know, you're just a dead lady walking. You just really are. You're dead in your trespasses. You're dead in your sins. And the only way that you're going to get out of that is with Jesus. You don't have any other way out. You don't need anyone pointing their long, crooked finger at you saying you should do this and you shouldn't do that. You can't do half the things you know you're supposed to already. What you need is Him. And that's what you're longing for. And that's why you're so angry. She said that she felt in fear for her life. Of course, she didn't tell any of the policemen that were all around there at the time. She decided to go ahead and get a warrant for my arrest. Well, when I came there this morning, the police officers came up and said, Flip, listen, I need to tell you this. Now, there were, you know, probably about 100 folks down at the abortion mill, our folks, Christians, and they said, look, we're sorry about this, but we're going to have to bring you in and arrest you. And I said, for what? And he said, well, what's her name? That lady said that you were threatening her. We know that you weren't doing that. We were here. We're watching you. But we have no choice but to arrest you because there's a warrant out for you. So we don't want to do this, but we're going to do this. And I was arrested. That's just what happens.
So this is a statement that was sent to us. It says, you know, one of their spokespersons says, we have long warned the city that the tactics employed by you and your crew typically escalate from intimidation to violence. In front of multiple witnesses, you threatened one of the clinic volunteers. We were relieved when police issued the protective order. I wish I could say I was surprised when he disregarded the order and came back to my clinic today. My volunteers and I are scared by his pattern of violence and disregard for the law.
Wow, violent. So that's what they say about me? I've been there for 17 years. There hasn't been one convicted act of violence there at all. I've been there 17 years. Now, for them to say something like that is so foolish. But again, I guess my speech is dangerous when I say that you're dead in your sins and that God wants you to turn to Him.
Always a gospel
issue. That is probably a violent language with the heart, to somehow let her know that Jesus can turn her life around. But she doesn't feel any, she is not afraid for her life. And all of the policemen that were around there, she could have easily just reported that to them. You know, it's just amazing to me that we have policemen there all the time now. There's no violence at all, except for the foul, filthy language that they have over there and the fact that they try and pass out condoms to our kids when we're bringing them there, because we come as families. We're not, you know, we're not out there trying to bully anybody, but the big bullies are right there and they want to shut us up, but we're not going to shut up.
Tyranny, folks. Tyranny. Tyranny. So that's where it's heading. And we better wake up and understand it. So it requires courage. That's kind of the theme this morning. It requires courage. It requires not being afraid to go to jail. And it is always, always a gospel opportunity. Now, I want to tie something together. They're going to open up the queue here. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. We saw those police officers who didn't go into the school down there in Florida, stood on the outside, the deputy sheriffs, whether they were told to stand down or whatever. We don't know that. But do you know what's come out since then? It's amazing. They're not required to save lives. Did you know that? A police officer is sworn to uphold the Constitution, but they are no longer required to put themselves in harm's way. Are you ready? They are there to enforce the law. In other words, the job of the policeman is not, it would be good, and most good policemen would rush into the school and pull you out of a building where they're shooting kids. Most good policemen would do that. But if a policeman decides not to do it because he's busy writing a parking ticket, he is in fact doing his job. His job is law enforcement. You understand? Hey,
Coach, yes. Remember I mentioned thing about the courts? Remember I mentioned the courts? Their role is to enforce contracts.
Mm-hmm. Enforce contracts, enforce the law, and dare I say it, increase the coffers.
That's
increase
it.
The coffers, right?
Society increase based on women.
Does anybody ever charge women at the clinic for violating Flip's right to freedom of speech? They ever get charged for that? Through intimidation of making a false report? No. Somebody jump in here. Tyranny, bravery.
Yeah, what happens to the woman who falsely accused him? What happens to her?
Nothing. Because she'll say, "Why, I felt that way." See, the problem was, Jared, she went straight to a magistrate judge who wrote a warrant for his arrest. No police report. So you could walk up and make, could you, Jared, right there and up there in China, Maine, could you walk up and go to the cop and or go to a judge and say, "Hey, judge, write me a warrant." The judge writes you a warrant, they laugh you out of the place. See, they're in cahoots with these abortions. They're in cahoots with them. So they knew which judge to go to and write a warrant. Cops can't even believe there's a warrant. There's no police report. Tyranny, local level. Tyranny at the local level. Somebody jump in.
Well, Dave, I know what you're talking about. But with a police officer that's supposed to uphold the law, isn't murder against the law?
Well, brother, that's...
You can stop a murder. That's against the law.
It's not that, Matt. Come on. You know this, Matt. It's not a child. It's a blob of tissue, and it's a woman's choice. So therefore, that little baby doesn't have any rights. Now, if we can determine that it was a baby, and if we could determine that it was alive, then maybe we could throw some rights its way. But until then, we can't, because the Supreme Court has said so.
So from the school to the abortion mill, both of them, the cop don't have to rush in and do anything because neither one's against the law. If the cop can stand there in a school and watch people be killed and not rush in to stop them because they don't have to, I think something's missing here. We're not considering
his job is to arrest him, not stop him.
Right.
It's to arrest him after he's done it. That's his job. That came out. It came. Guys, I'm not making this up.
No,
if you're following
right.
the story at all, his job is to arrest the killer, not stop him. Now, break in, run in. There's a good video of a guy's a baseball coach. He's a cop, baseball coach at the high school. And he runs in, and one of the other agents gives him his Kevlar vest, and he gets his buddy's weapon. And he went in his shorts, in his buddy's bulletproof vest, and a gun, and he went in and tried to stop him. There are a lot of great officers out there, but we have to see the tyranny that's going on around us, the tyranny of the system. Somebody else.
Coach, I think every community that has to protect and serve on the side of their police cars ought to take that word protect off, or make, you know, make a public statement or something that they're really going to do it, because that's
Larry, they are protecting the government.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
38 states have fetal homicide laws. You hurt the woman, you murder the kid. 38 states.
Right.
So how can they have a law against harming a fetus and other states think it's not a life?
Because we let them do it. We fall right in line and let them do it.
Hey,
they get away with this crap.
Because the churches line up to applaud it and say, oh, good, these poor pregnant women that don't want to be pregnant are finally have an option.
There's no sin.
Hey, Coach.
There's no sin.
Hey, Coach, going back to the flip.
Yeah,
that doctor at that abortion clinic, that doctor at that abortion clinic, Ron Vermani, you remember it was I and Ken and Joe Scott, went in front of his house, made one of the most racial statements, not only telling us to adopt those ugly black babies, but that guy has been charged and convicted with raping a worker, whatever, a patient from that clinic at his house. That's a violent act right there. And you know what? That guy is still doing abortions at that clinic.
Yeah, well, somebody's being paid off, man. That's all it is. As JR just kicked in the chat here, they protect each other, man. They protect each other's. See, they don't protect and serve us. They protect and serve the system. Now, guys, listen, I know some good cops. Chad Estes is a good cop. I'm not talking about cops. I'm talking about at the very center of the system, it is demonically controlled. It just is. It just is. It's part of advancing this dark, dark agenda. Now, come on, man.
Hey,
come on, man.
Can I read something? Life begins with conception. It's a live egg and a live sperm that combine to make a new being. There's nothing in there that denotes death. There's nothing there dead. Life begins at conception, and people need to realize that. They need to.
So, Vince, why do we let it go on? Hey, Vince. Sorry, tough question. Do you know it's a life? Do you know it's a life? Do you know it's a lie, Vince?
I do.
Yeah. What are you doing about it? You know it's a lie, Larry. What are you doing about it? Roger, do you know that's a lie? What are you doing about it? Hey, Pastor, do you know it's a lie? What are you doing about it? See, they get away with it because we won't do anything about it. We'll flap our chops. We'll listen to Limbaugh. We'll listen to Savage. We'll listen to Sean Hannity. We'll listen, and nobody will do a daggone thing. And then you go to your church on Sunday, and the pastor will tell you how to ignore all that stuff and just get your best life now and your health and your wealth and your wisdom. Just get all that in your little box, and it'll all be okay. Oh, Pastor, they're killing babies. Somebody get him out of here. Get that guy out of here. We don't even bring in that negativity in the church. But pastors are killing babies. Would somebody, ushers, yes or no?
Listen, I'll tell you what we're dealing with. Says that to me in my face.
I just gave you a true scenario.
Yes, you did.
That's what's going on. We're ignoring it. And then we blame Trump. We blame Donald Trump. Why won't he stop him? So flipping those guys got 250 people showing up outside the clinic. You know what's going on? Yeah. They have a little bit of diarrhea down there in North Carolina. That's what it is. So now they got to make up lies. They got to make up lies, see? Because the church is showing up and they don't like it. They don't like the fact. And as Flip said, the entire job of law enforcement in Charlotte, North Carolina is to silence the mouth of God. Flip said that. A variety of that. That is their whole job, to get him out of there, to shut him up, so that the truth doesn't come forth. And the result is what? They're going to lie about you. They're going to throw you in jail. Two-thirds of the New Testament written from jail. I got something else to show you. Anybody? I'll give you a minute there. Yes.
I think one of the big arguments is on the abortion thing from the pulpit is they don't want to offend the women in the congregation that have had abortions. And with that line of logic, you wouldn't preach about any sin.
And they don't. And they don't, right? Oh. You know why they don't want to? Because the woman killed the baby. Listen, the woman just simply did what the church taught her to do. Have her best life now. God will forgive you.
The pastor that preaches against pornography or adultery or Sodom and Gomorrah type lifestyles, you wouldn't, if you took his thinking completely, you couldn't preach on those things either, because you might hurt somebody or offend somebody for what their sin is or was or has been.
So are you going to a church where they're calling out sin, or are you going to a church where they're powdering over the sin? Well, they're powdering it. Jesus will forgive you, brother. He'll forgive you. And they're slaughtering children. They're teaching our kids in school that transgenderism in elementary school. Yeah, Jeff.
You remember back when we were with Flip down in Charlotte? And I was out there with Flip and Pastor Bill and them, and they were calling out them two doctors, Dr. Harris and Dr. Flood, at the Presbyterian Hospital. Remember that?
I remember it well, yep.
There you go.
Yep. Yep, they weren't very loving. So as I started out in Joshua today, he said, hey, boys, this all belongs to us. It's all you. It's all America belongs to us, God's children. America belongs to us. But see, the other side's not going to give up. They're not going to give it up. They stack the courts. They stack the police officers. They stack the congressional. You think a guy like me could get elected to Congress? Can you imagine what they would say about a guy like me or a guy like Flip? Imagine. Christians don't want guys like us. They want guys like what they have. They want guys with platitudes, guys who say things. They're not guys who are going to do anything about it. They don't want that kind of guy. Are you kidding me? $3 worth of God, please, right? I'd like $3 worth of God. That's where we are. Okay, I'm stuck between two things I want to show you here. Okay, I'm gonna go here. Okay, Jared, it's 3 minutes. Jared, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4 thing down drill code. I'm going to open up a can of worms. Just going to throw this one out at you again. The secrecy of government. Now listen, I'm not going to say anything. This is a teacher at Parkland. Okay? And just listen. Just listen and tell me what you hear. Go ahead, Jared.
What a beautiful one.
All my kids are in front of me going down the stairwell. I get to the door at the top of the west stairwell in the 1200 building. We hear gunfire. I assume that it's a code red drill because they told us earlier in the day that we're going to be having a code red drill. I assumed it was blanks. So I grabbed all my kids, started yelling at the kids, get back into rooms. Shutter push as many kids into rooms as I can. By the time I get back to my room's door, the shooter's already up at the tail end of the hall, at the other end, the east end of the building. Heard two shots. I didn't see it, but then those two shots would have been my friend Scott Beagle getting shot and killed while trying to save his kids. And then he looked down the hallway and started shooting. At this point, I'm pretty much in the middle of the hallway. I go for cover because, well, I realize that this time I can't actually get in my room because my keys are in my room. As I'm going for cover, one of my former students, a kid who's a senior named Joaquin Oliver, screamed.
We can stop there, Jared. We can stop there. He just goes ahead and tells the rest of the story. We don't need to hear the rest of the story. Did anybody hear what he said at the beginning? Did anybody catch what he said at the beginning? We all heard it. Did we all catch it? Jared, let's go back there again. Let's go back there, Jared. Start right there. Then the first 45 seconds, listen to what he says. Go ahead, Jared.
We start to exit the building. All my kids are in front of me going down the stairwell. I get to the door at the top of the west stairwell in the 1200 building. We hear gunfire. I assume that it's a code red drill because they told us earlier in the day that we're going to be having a code red drill. I assumed it was blanks.
Stop.
So I grabbed all my kids.
Your book on it.
What do you say about that?
The whole thing's a psyop. It's a psyop mixed with a mass casualty event. The people can't put two things together.
Vince, you are a conspiracy theorist.
Huh, it's true, though.
Vince, you don't know that. You do not know that.
You have no proof of that.
What's your proof?
What's my proof? I put it on my Minds page. I can put it up here if you want.
Put it up there.
Okay.
JR, what would you say about what this guy just said?
Well, first of all, I was curious as why the kids were leading ahead of him and he wasn't leading them.
And
go ahead.
Why was he so stupid? He locked his keys in his classroom.
Well, guys, you missed it. They told them there was going to be a code red drill. They told them there was going to be a... Play that again, Jared.
Pretty clear.
I get to the door at the top of the west stairwell in the 1200 building. We hear gunfire. I assume that it's a code red drill because they told us earlier in the day that we're going to be having a code red drill. I assume.
But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Look, Cruz could have known there's going to be a code red drill.
That's a coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a coincidence. Sure.
Sure. Exactly. You know, the Bible talks about rumors. You ought to look the verses up, guys.
Hey, JR, did you hear what this guy said? What's he telling us, JR?
What,
he's telling us that there was a code red drill.
What does that mean, Coach?
What does it mean? Now, JR, listen. This guy's casually walking down the hall with his kids because they've been told there's a code red drill. He's casually walking down the hall. You said, why is he following the kids? He left his keys in his room. He's not worried about it. They've been told there's going to be a drill.
It was a drill. So was he nothing to worry about?
Guys. I'm sorry. You were really stretching it. Really stretching it.
In what way?
Because you're assuming, and it could be coincidence.
Oh.
Right.
Well, coincidence.
All right. Hold on. Before we let too much of this, you got to kind of just look at the data, right? It did happen during a drill. That's odd enough.
Right.
That's just odd enough for there to be a coincidence where a shooting happened during a drill where the dude's got his students in the hallway already walking and whatnot. I mean, this is – I agree, JR. The data's not there to support it as a fact. I'm with JR there, Coach.
Yeah, I never said it was a fact.
Several sides of the county.
I never said it was a fact. I'm trying to get you guys. JR, did you watch the video of Jerome Corsi yesterday?
No, I did not.
Okay, watch the video of Jerome Corsi yesterday, because there'll be many of us who say this is all psyop. This is all make believe. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. I don't know what happened down there.
Yeah.
But there's something very demonic going on in our nation.
There's other stories. There's other stories, and there's other information besides this guy. This is just one more piece of information. Right. But you're right. We all should open our eyes, especially in our hometowns. I've got Virginia Tech shootings, right? We've had things at Tech happen. That's just right up the road. So that one was more... It was less like this. You know?
Let me throw this out here. When was the first shooting in Columbine? Does anybody know?
1995, right?
No, I think it was 1999. I believe it was 1999.
Eight years ago. It's 8-year anniversary, Coach.
Okay, 1999. That'd be about right. What has happened in the schools since Columbine to stop any of this from ever happening again? Has anything been done in any school?
Other than get the guns, right?
So every time one of these things happens, what's the cry? Get the guns. Has there been anything done from a security standpoint nationwide to ensure that this doesn't happen? And I think the answer is no.
Right.
The answer is no.
And, well, a lot of schools put security guards in them. But these right. security guards, I mean, think about security guards. Think about it. Not that any of us are security guards, but if you're in a mall and you see a security guard, what's your immediate impression, right? These are the security guards in our schools, right?
Well, right. On that note, I was a security guard for a couple months after I got out of the military. Mm-hmm. Their job mm-hmm. is not to interact. Their job is to report and to record Thank what you, happens. Jared. Their job is not mm-hmm. to actually do anything. Now, if they're a good person, they will. But it is not right. a security guard's job right. description
You're right.
to do
You're
anything.
Exactly right, Jared.
There you go.
It's not our job to film them with our phones when this stuff's going down either, but that's what most Americans do is they grab their phones and film
them. Exactly.
No. So from what I understand, let me wrap this up here a second. Here's from what I understand, Trump is about to come out with a national plan to harden these soft targets, whether it's guns, whatever it is. He's about to come out with a plan, and the left is furious, furious because
we should be
whether it's staged. Larry, just a second. Whether it's staged or not staged. The same response is always the same. Grab the guns. Always the same. And so there is an urge. We don't want to believe this. There is a desire by somebody to take our gun. Now, whether or not that has anything to do with what happened in Parkland, I can promise you this. It's been the same response for however many shootings it's been. It's been the same response. Take the guns. I don't know how we can miss it. I don't know how we can miss it. Well, I'm not saying.
You're right on that aspect, Coach. But here, listen, look at this. We, as, quote, conservative Christians or whatever, we say the federal government has no business in public education. That belongs at the states and below. And now we're saying, oh, Ray. Trump wants to oversee all the security in every school. Across the country. We can't have our cake and eat it too.
Larry, that isn't what I'm saying. He's going to give the schools the ability to arm people if they want to. He's not going to oversee it. Yes, we ought to do away with the Federal Department of Education. Yes, all politics are local. But understand that for however long, we've wanted everything mandated from on high, which is Larry's point. We've wanted everything managed from on high. And the point that I'm trying to make is all politics are local. Who is the federal government to tell the people in Hebron, Ohio, how they can defend their own children in their own school? That's exactly. the tyranny I'm talking about.
Exactly. Hey, Coach.
And we need the approval of Trump to be able to arm our own police officers. We need his approval. No. It's the mindset that we have.
There was a shooting in Jersey yesterday. You know what they did? They armed the school with shotguns outside the school. They did them themselves.
Reagan!
Well, Coach.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, this is going to come down to this is a good and bad scenario because really the root of the issue is the darkened heart of man is flipped.
Amen.
You know, so eloquently presented. Think about that county. That is liberal to the hilt, where God is not welcomed, and now you're putting guns in the hand of an ungodly, unstable teacher. Just take that scenario, because at the local level versus the federal level, we don't know. Like, this county might be good. This county might have great teachers and very responsible, but this one over here, you know, they're anti-God. They don't want God. I mean, I think about California. They don't want God in nothing. And then you put guns in the hands of these guys and look, it really, you have a heart that has been, encapsulated by Satan himself. And now you're giving them a gun also. I'm just saying I believe that these schools do need to be protected. Personally, what I think they need to do is get public school out of it. It needs to come back to the church, to the people. Right.
That's right. It's all a huge, huge connected problem. Okay. It's hugely connected. And here's what we've got to understand. There are dark forces at work in our nation. This could have been a perfectly legitimate drill going on in Parkland High School, and somebody infiltrated and turned it into something it wasn't supposed to be. You understand?
Right.
Conspiracies aren't always coming from the government. They aren't always people standing back and letting it happen. My point is this. There are nefarious forces at work, and once again, we are calling on grandpa government to give us the solution. In fact, schools won't even arm themselves until they get the approval of the president. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And all politics are local, and we're going to have to get some courage because this stuff is coming to our front door. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
Protect our children.